Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Chauncey, we got to start off with these big reds, man.
I'm at home listening to them on the radio. I'm trying to get better so I can be on the sideline and in my spot.
Yeah, I didn't watch this thing, man.
But I'm in love in the radio, though.
Okay.
Hey, our sister station, 100, D100, they doing their thing.
Yeah, they do. They give us great coverage, man.
I heard you on the radio. I heard you talking. I was like, all right, this is my partner in crime. I heard you.
My voice of Muskegon.
Yeah. I heard you at halftime. I was like, okay. Talking about the foundation. The foundation, how we need help and volunteers and the golf outing and, you know, helping cheerleaders and other sports like that and just
non-revenue, man. Yep. And it's an ongoing, you know, it's ongoing work, you know, and I am so extremely proud of the student athletes at Muskegon.
And you don't get paid to do that, Tony. You've been doing that for years.
Nothing.
You've been doing that for years, man.
I've been volunteering as a community servant for years, but you know what?
Yes, sir.
It's this. I got a sign in my office that's about it. You never measure a man by his possessions. How big his house was or how, you know, new his car is or how fancy. You judge him by the hearts that he's touched through his lifestyle.
Look, I know we're on the same page because I got a scripture for you at the end that sounds just like that. And I'm gonna say that at the end, but you done said it in the beginning. You done said some out of Proverbs already. I'm gonna tell you that.
That's what it's all about at the end of the day, man. Yeah. When you walk down the street and young fellas that you've impacted their lives come and thank you.
That's right.
They say, hey, coach, wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. Man. So that's my reward.
That's the turnaround.
Yeah,
brother.
Priceless.
Yeah, so let's get into these big reds I've been enjoying. And first,
two state champions they took down 2 weeks back to back.
Two parochial magnet schools where they get better to get the cream of the crop of their city.
Yeah, and they're higher divisions too. Because, you know, last year in the semifinals to get to Ford Field, they played each other. De La Salle, Martin Luther King played. Martin Luther King lost by 2 points.
Mm.
And that's how De La Salle got there, and they won the state championship. So either one of those teams last year were, you know, potential state champions.
Wow.
And we put them on our roster. We put them on our schedule because we wanted to play the best of the best.
So we at the stage. I know how Coach Guy is. He at the stage looking like, oh, they supposed to be good. They supposed to be this. I'm going to be calling.
Right.
Y'all want to play next year? I know. I already know. He at the game. He looking at. He always thinking 4 or 5 steps ahead.
Okay.
Like, oh, there'll be some great opponents because I know how he feel. I'm from Muskegon. He's from Muskegon. And it's always, we got to have this chip on our shoulder to be in West Michigan. And some people say, oh, we beat teams on the other side of the state. They don't care.
Nope.
They don't care. We still little mosquito.
That's it.
Them.
That's it, man.
Little mosquito. And I appreciate Coach Guy always pushing the envelope like, play us. And I'm telling somebody that's running from us right now, Cass Tech. I'm calling it out.
He has called Cass Tech numerous times that they will not play these big reds, man.
They running. Saying it now. Anybody a Cass Tech graduate, y'all running from us. Tell y'all coach that we said it.
Sign
about
up. Sign
Come
up.
On with it.
Sign up for this 2-year agreement.
That's right.
And, you know, the caveat to this is after the game, right, the King players were classy. It was really neat. These kids got together, they talked, they shook hands, they dapped, and it was like, well, nobody fighting, nobody cussing or arguing. So it's like two inner city schools can get together and play football, be competitive, and after the game, show love and respect for the program.
But, I mean, those teams, those two first teams, are not sorry.
Oh.
When they go and play their rest of the season.
They're not losing.
They're not losing nothing. They're going to get points for playing us.
They're going to win every game that's on their schedule.
Man, they're amazing.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of that, there was a kid who is a ninth grader starting on this football team.
Muskegon's defense, right?
Yeah.
What's the boy's name again?
Miles Walton, ninth grader. Put him in the fire. You done put him with some of the best quarterbacks that they're going to see all year.
They stopped throwing his way.
They stopped throwing.
Did they know he was a freshman? I know they did.
Oh, yeah, they know he was a freshman, man.
They got the paper in front of him.
They read the roster. They know.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give this boy a lot of credit. I'm going to say you shouldn't be able to say these things about people that went before them. But the kid reminded me of Deshaun Thrower. He does. And I told Deshaun, like, you need to be talking to him as many times as you can because he got it in basketball and football.
He's the real deal.
Yep. I don't even know him. I just seen him several occasions. Mm. I know Mitchell coaches him. He came through Oakview in the summertime. They practicing. And I'm looking at him. I'm seeing he has this this motor and this mindset that nobody can stop him. Okay. Become, whatever it comes to, I'm looking at him and I'm like, he cut. He ready.
And he in the right spot.
Yep.
Okay. Who? Not many coaches would have taken him on a team of talented players and threw a ninth grader in there with our schedule.
That's right.
And said, no, we're not going to put this pressure on this kid. But he proved he can handle the pressure.
Yes, sir.
You know, and some other revelations came out this week is we have two players that's up for Mr. Basket, Mr. Football.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Who are they now? Everybody should know.
The young man from played his last year at Catholic Central.
Okay.
Cameron Martinez.
He deserved Cam. I'm going to tell you, look, Cam been good.
Two games in Muskegon, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you just – you mention his name, he's Mr. Football for the Little League.
Yeah.
Average five touchdowns a game, Cameron.
He touched it.
Now, like you said before we got on, now he's walking on the stage – where everybody said, I don't know how he would do it, a higher division, and Muskegon. Now he's here.
Yeah. And you know what? He's done it with his legs because we have two football games. We throw the football one time.
You're right.
One. People say, why don't y'all throw the football? You win it. Three things happen when you throw the football, and two of them are not good. So if you step on the field and not have to do that, I think you're in a great spot.
Man,
it's coming. Trust me, though. It's going to come.
I'll just put it like this. Muskegon is known for smash mouth football, right? But then also being a coach. If I'm playing against a team and I beat you doing what I do.
Best.
And you can't stop what I do and I can keep on doing what I do till you stop me, do I have to prove that I'm a better team than you?
Yeah. We throw the ball, it's going to make us better. No, you need that diversity in your offense. And again, it's going to come.
It's going to come.
But they're taking their time with Cameron. Okay, they're taking the time with him. He's learning his offense. But after this week, it's going to be lights out, man. He's going to start putting the ball up, and you'll see what a great athlete he is.
Oh, he is. I know what he is. So he,
yeah.
It's amazing to see what they got down there.
We're excited about that, man.
I mean, for me, it's amazing to hear till I be able to be in that environment. I enjoy listening to the games and then listening to the hits that the kid taking.
Oh,
they sticking it, boy.
Oh, they be sticking now. Both sides.
Yeah. But he the quarterback. So they land some on him. And he get right back up and do it again.
Do it again.
So I'm like, I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, no doubt. Nope. And we had college football. Spartans were victorious.
Yeah, we got one more. We got Anthony Bradford.
Oh, no, yeah, Big Tony.
I had Tony as a student.
About Big Tony.
Tony got
man.
A special place in my heart.
I know, Bradford. Man. The guy's just a good guy, man. Kid.
I love Tony.
I love him. I love me some Tony Bradford. I got to him I'm going had to take him out to eat. But I said, we got to go to All You Can Eat, though.
Yeah, you do. I almost spit up my water.
Him and Billy.
Oh, yeah, they going to eat good.
Yeah, I got to give him a shout-out, Billy. That's my boy, man. Too.
Yeah, that's some good kids, man. Those
kids, Billy Roberts is a good kid. Who played who came as a ninth grader, too.
That's right. Played basketball
and football. Yep. You know, and he's in his third year, and he's only a 11th grader. So, Billy going to get some accolades coming next year as well. So, yeah, finish that up. And then, like I say, we had a Spartans were victorious, Utah.
Oh, that's right.
It was an ugly win, but it's a win.
Yeah, I was watching that last play with the 3 minutes left in the game and how we maneuvered against the Aggies defense. So, I was impressed. And then how the quarterback is communicating more with the wide receivers. Yes.
Yeah.
He's doing that. He's doing a good job. Appreciate it. Now we got Arizona. Got to be in hot Arizona State next.
Yeah, that's old Rich Rod. Y'all going to put – is that Rich Rod or –
from Michigan.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Rodriguez. That was sending the Michigan program in the right direction, but they sent him out of there.
Right, because he was changing too many things. There are too many traditionalists at Michigan, you know.
Look at B-Line.
We did it, and that's how we're going to do it.
You know, him and B-Line came from West Virginia together.
Right, yeah.
They bought them it's like it was a package deal.
And B-Line got the message, though.
Yeah,
he did. He's – he got the message. It's a good payday here in Michigan if you do what they tell you to.
Yeah, if they do. But Rich was winning, but you know, they short-tempered.
Yeah, they gave him a short leash. Gave him a very short leash, man.
And they didn't like all the yoga and the flexibility and all that other stuff he was doing.
Yeah, very, you know, non-traditional
stuff
that folks at Michigan just don't take kindly to, but they need to take a look at the coach now, though, because he might be overpaying him.
Yeah, they might be overpaying him. That's a rough thing.
And they got Western. Michigan got Western
Ooh.
On Saturday.
That's a potential loss.
Yeah, Western's no joke, man.
Western got all great athletes. Western got all Michigan players.
Yeah, a lot of
they got the boy
Drake Harris.
Yeah, they got all the kids that thought about going to Michigan.
They got a lot of 50-year seniors on that team too. Man, or transfers.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they got a lot. And the two kids from King are committed
to Western Michigan.
Oh, that's going to – I'm sorry, I correct myself. Central.
They're going
to
Central.
They're going to Central. So, yeah, Central's no joke either now.
They got Muskegon kids now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got three Muskegon players.
Yep, Corey got minutes. Corey played. Yep. Sullivan. You got Drew and Ward, and you got Khalil Pimpleton. So, they're starting to take a look at our kids. So.
Yep. We're going to be the hot
game. You know, that's the game I'm waiting to see is the Central-Western game.
Ooh.
That, right. To me, is going to be a really good game.
Had to go down to Kalamazoo for that one.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's worth the trip, man. We got to go.
Yeah.
We got to go. And then one other thing we're going to finish up with is the Nike.
Oh, the 30th anniversary.
The Nike gamble, the Nike, whatever you want to call it.
Just do it campaign.
You know, but they've kind of refigured that term where are you willing to sacrifice something you stand for and lose all the possessions you have, something to that effect.
Yeah.
And that's a bold move on Nike's part, okay? Because you got a lot of people in this country that are very conservative. And when you look at the things that Kaepernick did, I've talked to many folks that agree with it. It's just that it took a wrong spin.
Yeah.
But
they thought he was going against the flag. That's what
they don't
understand. They don't understand that, Tony.
No.
But
platform.
You know, it's a black face with an afro. That's what it's too up in their face.
Yeah. No, he, you know, his whole thing was about making this country aware that we need to do things differently.
Yes,
okay,
we
need to change how we treat people or allow people to get away with treating others.
Now, on a funny end, I had to come on a funny end that I saw the stuff they was burning up. Okay?
Okay, I didn't see that.
I'm telling you, wasn't no Vapor Maxes, no Air Maxes, no Jordans, no shoes that
of any value
that Muskegon Big Red basketball players would wear or Lady Reds would wear. I seen the Monarchs, the ones that you would find at a low end store.
Okay.
They're like the Nikes that barely making it being a Nike.
Okay.
They was burning up.
Oh.
So it's like.
So there are some people that's protesting this move.
And they're not really Nike fans.
Okay.
But then I always seen Nike, Tony, as growing up as a child in my era, it was a socialism brand.
Yes. Yes.
It's like it always, it took diversity, it took the movement, it took the moment, and it seemed like when you wore that check mark, it seemed like you were part of a culture.
Mm-hmm. You were.
That supported a movement of change. Always.
Of change. That's
Michael
right.
Jordan, when he first came in, wearing the red and the black shoes.
That's right.
It just was like it went against the grain.
It did.
It always did.
Against the establishment. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Nike makes social statements because, I mean, shoes now, and we've talked about this before, it's a fashion statement. You see people wearing tennis shoes with tuxedos.
Yeah, that's right.
It's because they're Nike brands, you know? And that's what they've done. They've really shifted the paradigms of how we view sneakers and tennis as wear.
Yeah.
So, my hat is off to him. I've been a long time owner of Nike stock,
yes,
and I'm going to continue to be because I think what they're doing is the right thing to do.
I support them. They're in my portfolio, and I always, that's all I wear. I bought a pair of Adidas. I couldn't even do it.
Okay.
They were so comfortable. I liked them. I ended up giving them to somebody on the football staff, brand new. They were like, you want these? I say, man, it's something about me. I just ride with
comfortable
Nike.
With my Nikes, man. And there are people like you that they know will understand what they did and support it and will always be people that will buy their products.
Yeah, but then it's just on the flip side of this, before we move on, just look at the two controversial athletes in the country, Serena and Kaepernick, and then throw in LeBron.
Yeah.
Throw those faces in.
Mm-hmm.
Schools, giving back, trying to help your community, showing, being tied to global sports.
Yep.
And look at the people, Compton, Saginaw, Michigan, LeBron from Akron, from these small places.
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick being biracial, you know?
Okay.
So it's so much that's there.
Yeah, then meets the eye.
That's
right. You see that tip of the iceberg, but there's so much more that's underneath that never gets talked about and never really gets appreciated.
And that's what Nike does. It takes the narrative and stretches it out. So you can see beyond the check mark that you can do it.
Yeah.
That's what just do it means to me.
Yeah, when Knight decided to make this move, it wasn't about money because he knew he was going to take a hit, which he did. Nike's stock has dropped 2 days in a row.
Yes, it has.
But the message is more important to him than not doing the right thing.
Okay. Exactly right.
It's about what you stand for, man.
Man, it's some amazing
and
stuff.
He deals with people of high character. And yes, he does. You've named them.
Yep. Philip Nike.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Sometimes you have to give up money to prove a point.
And then you can live with yourself after making those decisions.
Absolutely.
He's going to live with himself.
Yeah. You know, he'll be okay. Trust me.
Oh, they all right.
He's going to be fine. It's going to blow over.
It's going to blow.
They're going to go right back to buying his product. Because I heard some numbers about the apparel that people had already purchased. And it was like off the chart, man.
Already. After that, already. People burning stuff up.
Yeah.
Going
that's a small group of people that's
going
to do that.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch more that's going to understand what's going on and buy that product.
I got stuff at home that I ain't even wore yet. I'm saving for hoop season. I got some LeBron, some KDs. I just got stuff just at home that I ain't even brought out yet. I was like, I'm waiting for the season because I've been buying it discounted, but it's at home brand new in boxes.
Well, it's not going out of style.
Yeah, that's – I'm like – I'm wearing that.
Out of style,
I'm wearing that. I'm rocking that. Then we got Rick Pitino in sports.
Okay, yeah. I heard something today. I didn't get a whole story on it. But what we got for Rick?
He said, I'm done. I'm not coming back at all. I'm writing this book. This is my last thing.
It's a tell-all book, you think?
I'm done. But you already. No,
it's a tell-all. He going to tell all the secrets of coaching that we're not supposed to know about.
Man, I love Pitino, though. Pitino's my guy. And he's just Pitino, you know, Italian suits. You know, he got his flavor. He knew how to aggravate referees. He knew how to aggravate other teams with his defensive schemes. And he did his thing. He's a winner. He's going out as a winner, but he's going to have an asterisk by his name with the money stuff. But, that's been his whole career.
He's financially set for the rest of his life because he's well invested. I know that much about Pitino. He didn't squander his money. He enjoyed what he was doing, but, you know, it's like a lot of things. You know, he had enough money, so money wasn't the motivator. But as it stands now, he doesn't have to coach anymore and still be good financially.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something about, like, I know we go to the Nike clinics. Pitino's tight. The Nike clinics is sponsored by the same people that brought him into basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, the Italians, they run the Nike clinics.
Okay.
This guy's name is Mike, gray-haired guy. And they run the whole Nike clinic. So when he's going on that circuit, Nike circuit, Pitino going to be there.
Okay.
I'm going to get a flyer in the mail one day. Pitino's going to be there. Okay. I already know it. Because Michael Teller already in it. The guy that coached Kentucky is already in it.
Calipari.
Yep. They always, they in that circuit. Because they get
that fraternity.
They get that franchise's free Nike gear. But then when the people retire, they just bring them on anyway.
Bring them on, man.
And they be consultants. And
there you go.
They consultants to the Olympic teams. They consultants to new college coaches. They become consultants and they make all this Nike money.
Yeah. Yeah, and that they help with that agent arm of Nike too.
That's right.
Know,
the agent
talk arm. About what kind of structured contracts they should be trying to get for their clientele.
Yep, and that's just how it works, and it's just amazing and just looking at it and just, but that's Pitino. But I mean, on a global perspective, right now I want to share one thing. Amazon just bought 20,000 Mercedes-Benz vans to do their Amazon delivery. Like, you could sign up for you could be an Amazon delivery person. You use your car, or you can work at one of their warehouses. I know it's one in Granville and Walker right now.
Yeah.
And they're trying to cut out FedEx, UPS, and the post office because, you know, they're trying to find 7 days, give you a package at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Somebody knock on your door. Somebody knock on my door on Sunday. It's like, for this book I got today, I'm talking about.
I want it tomorrow.
It was at 8 o'clock. It said, I ordered it on. I think on Saturday, and it came Tuesday.
Okay.
But I ordered it on Friday. It tried to come Sunday to my door.
That's a different twist to delivery.
Yeah.
We're giving you a 24-hour delivery service.
7 o'clock at night on Sunday.
If you ordered it and it came into our warehouse, you're gonna have it that day.
So then I'm looking at. So then they bought these 20,000 Mercedes vans, 20,000 of them. So I'm like, man, that's not a bad gig. You can ride around in a Mercedes van with an Amazon shirt on, and and then the way they got it set up, they have this app. You can pick your shift you want to work.
Okay.
So if you want to work late night, 12 to 2 or whatever, the last shift, and then they put the dollar amount that you can work to get, you just show up to the warehouse, pick the packages up. You're gonna use your car, or their vehicle. you know, per diem or whatever, and you could just drop the packages off and then get your pay like Uber.
Right. You got to set all that up on your app, so there's no money exchange. You're basically direct deposit. Whatever you've earned, they don't cut you a check. You just send it right to your banking account. Yep. Boom. Or put it on your card, your debit card or whatever. The Amazon folks are serious about making money, man.
And they're serious about sharing it, I've seen.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
They're serious about sharing it with everybody, from authors. If you have products and you sell them on Amazon, if I read a book and I share it for somebody else, I can make a proceed off of it.
Okay.
Being an Amazon associate. It's just amazing that there's no way you should not be able to monetize something in America right now.
Yeah.
But you got to be tech savvy, though. You got to know how to use a computer.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Name it again.
Got to. Yep.
Okay.
You got to use a computer. And then we got, I know we were talking about this on air, but this is just local and global stuff. The last thing globally is China giving Africa a $30 billion loan.
Yeah.
But they said no strings attached.
Yeah. And interest free.
Yeah, if you got to pay it back, you really don't. You really do. I'm like, man, that was some great friends to have. But think about what triggered that. We were talking about the, I know you can go into more detail about the train.
Right.
Because I remember Obama having a train system and trying to link up with China.
And I was listening to MSNBC last night, and Secretary of State John Kerry.
Yes,
which,
sir. He was the president.
Did a very good job of articulating where we are at as a country in a global marketplace. The guy did an excellent job. Talked about how China had, you know, tried to get the United States to come into this understanding that we can make trains the most inexpensive form of transportation versus shipping and flying. And they've committed billions of dollars to the continent of Europe and Africa, connecting these markets with a train system that is going to make these goods and services cost a whole lot less. And the point he was making was that our leader has chosen to beef with China over issues that is going to basically backfire on us. But that's what it's about. China is looking at this thing. They're not trying to close their borders. They're not trying to add tariffs. They're looking at how we're going to connect this country almost as one continent. And they're committing billions and probably trillions of dollars to make this thing happen.
But look, of our money, because we bought a lot of products from them. So they, you know, they was always buying the American dollar. Now they like, okay, we're going to take your dollar that we bought and you owe us some money, so much money still, we're going to take it over to Africa.
Yeah.
Instead of returning to you into that investment, like you said, with the train system. That brought a lot of jobs. I remember Obama talking about that. The jobs is going to come through with these trains. I'm not going to be here when it comes, but I set this bill in that. So my man just tried to change, 45, just tried to change everything.
Yeah, working on the infrastructure of this country, man.
The bridges, the train system, and trying to make sure that connector happened.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Africa is still a continent with probably the most natural resources on the face of this earth.
To this day.
And China realizes that. They recognize that.
They're respecting it.
And they see the potential through development of these third world countries. You got this abundance of human resources, all right?
People willing to work.
Yeah. This abundance of natural resources that the global market needs.
Technology needs.
We just need to put in a system that we can deliver these products in a really costly manner and everybody make money.
Everybody. Okay. Say that again.
And everybody makes money.
That don't sound like capitalism to me.
Okay. Socialism.
Yeah. Everybody making money.
Everybody making money. Socialism. Okay.
So you're not even.
That's what it is.
So you're making a living wage. Even if I'm rich, you're making a living wage. We can live in the same community because you're making enough. Well, you won't be no crime because you're getting it. You got something coming in consistently.
Yeah.
A consistent stream of income where you making a living wage.
That will impact the total economy of your community.
That's what global
everybody's
do.
Working.
I think global economies do stretch. They stretch that.
It's here to stay.
Okay. You can't stop it.
We can't close our borders. We can't tariff, you know, other countries away. Okay. Here we beefing with Canada. Canada is one of the largest countries
exports
that we have import and export. They have, GM have connected these two countries basically with the supply of automobile parts going back and forth into Canada. You know, they know how what it takes to make a profit.
That'll shut Michigan down. Because we on this side of the state, we're a distributor, right?
Ford had just canceled one of the models that they were going to make because the tariffs that were imposed for the products coming back from Canada was going to make it cost prohibitive. So we can't make any money on these cars.
Oh, man.
Okay? That's the problem with this tariff model that he's using. It doesn't have to be that way. Okay? He wants to beef with them. I don't know if it's a personal issue or what, but we've done business with these people for hundreds of years with Canada and never had a problem. Now all of a sudden, they are a problem, where countries have invested heavily in Canada and vice versa. So, you know, it's all about trying to do what's right for this country and the people that live here, and it doesn't seem to be going in that direction.
Wow. Speaking of that, just like you said, being able to work, I have an article today from Money Magazine with a young lady in it, and her name is Bola, and the article says, I saved $100,000 in 3.5 years on $54,000 salary.
It can be done.
It can be done. And she has some things highlighted in her article. And it just talked about her being a second generation hustle queen because her mom hustled to pay her college tuition with no student loans.
Okay.
So I think her parents were from Africa and Australia.
They're from Africa and Australia, yep.
So she came here as an immigrant. They had nothing. And they worked to have something. And she just trying to make sure she leaves something back for her kids.
Yeah. These people are the ambassadors for this country. People that come here and do well, they're going to say great things about this country because this is the land of opportunity.
That's it.
But we want to close borders. And I mean, yeah, I get it. There are some things that we need to probably tighten up on. But for the most part, these are the kind of people that want to come to this country, man, and do well. And shouldn't have to jump through hoops to do it.
I mean, she worked for herself. She's married to a doctor. I know she started a nonprofit where she helps young ladies learn about finance. She has her own photography company.
Yep.
So she has these things. But then she has these outline on how she did it. And the first thing it says, you set your intentions. Mm-hmm. So when she set her intentions, she figured out that she traveled a lot. So she didn't spend that much money when she had her wedding. She had a wedding gig. When she do wedding gigs
for right, us. Right. And she would eat.
Yeah.
She'd eat free at wedding gigs.
Be like, you don't got to pay me that much. I got this little equipment. But then as she started saving the money more and more and more, she started producing better photos and being in higher demand to do more weddings.
Right. She was investing back in her business, getting, you know, buying better equipment that gave her, you know, higher quality photos. And it's history, man. The rest is history.
She became intentful about doing it. Like, she's like, I'm going to quote it, says, her friends were saving aggressively as she was right out of college. But some were making twice as much as she earned, but it's saving nothing at all. Mm-hmm. But that didn't faze her. So she had friends making more money than her, but they was just buying stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's one thing about the immigrants. They say don't buy nothing for the first 10 years of being in this country. That's what they say. They don't buy nothing.
They just stacking that money.
Yeah, they just don't buy nothing. So she's like, she didn't buy anything when she got it from college. She just saved.
Right.
She had her wedding gig with her other job, and she just saved that money and then buying her better equipment. So then she was intentional about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The second, he says, find your true voice. So I said she developed into on the side for a year while working full time, saving, staying up to 3 a.m. in the morning for a whole year.
Yeah.
I know how that feels.
She's building burning a business.
I know you how that feels too, being a business owner and just
juggling
it, man.
In the early years, you know, with all of the, you know, the studying that it required. There were some tough, long nights, trust me.
So I can understand how she was doing this, and it's talked about, but her efforts paid off. He said, Clever Girl Finance earned $25,000 that first year through a diverse revenue stream of one-on-one coaching, courses, ebooks, affiliate links, and eventually brand partnerships. I like her work because it's the same work I'm trying to go into.
The same path.
Man, same
that blueprint.
Path.
Blueprint.
Designing man. Courses for kids from a different, my demographic to help them while they in the DHSs and and they need life coaches and being able to do the courses with them to show how to manage their finances. She got the same goals that I have. And I appreciate reading this article about her.
There's one paragraph in the center where she talks about personal finance.
Yes, sir.
She says, personal finance isn't a regular part of the curriculum in most U.S. schools. So Sobey has picked up that slack and educates her readers about budgets and investing. Her motto is no shame, no judgment.
That's it. That's,
that is profound right there.
So she's one of my heroes to me. So I'm like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow. And then the next one, she says, invest in yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, invest in yourself.
So she learned early on, you have to spend money to make money. Man, mm-hmm. my father used to say that so much. He said, boy, you want to make some money, you got to spend some money.
Okay, invest in yourself.
Yeah.
So education, knowledge.
You can't just go out and buy all those shoes and all that. So you got to take a percentage of your check, and you got to put it back in your business. If you cut grass, you got to have the gasoline again.
You got to keep your lawnmower tuned up.
So you got to get a better lawnmower. You might even buy another lawnmower and right. your buddy do it. So yeah. I remember going through those phases. But it talks about the camera again. It says she only had a basic camera equipment at first. But then every time I made money, I bought a lens or a camera body, she says. Every time.
Okay.
Every time I had some money, I took a portion and built your business. And it just eventually led to her having something that was worth $15,000.
Yeah, the camera equipment was worth $15,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. When she started out, it was not nearly that amount. But she kept investing it and buying higher grade equipment. And look what she had today.
$3,000 and $5,000 a gig and just take photos.
Yeah.
But then her husband's a doctor. So look at the clients. So
that clientele they
social got. Network, man. And being college educated, having an education, having that network of people,
mm-hmm.
and just being open minded. And then eventually, now she got $100,000 in 3.5 years. So that's how it went.
Yeah.
She had.
So her husband's a doctor, so that that $100,000, it wasn't like she really had to do that. That's just something she wanted to do to prove for herself that it is possible because I'm teaching others.
She took a hobby and she took her mother's gift she gave her, made a business out of it, out of both of them. So she took love out of her mother for teaching her daughter and helping her be debt free. She teaching her kids. She said, hold up. Kids need to learn this all the time.
Yeah.
Started a business and just love hanging out at weddings, dressing up, eating cake.
Right.
Say, look, I'm out taking pictures.
And that's good food at the wedding.
Yeah, wedding food is good. And just being able to produce that, and then it turned to $100,000.
Yeah. So she practiced what she preached, right? Yeah. She, you know, that the clever girl finance, this is just another part of what she can say in her presentation. I've done it. It's possible.
It's possible.
If you listen to me, you can do it too.
You can do
here
it too.
Here it is.
And then it says, you want to, so going over the goals she has, she says, set your intentions. That's being intentional. Find your true voice. Invest in yourself. And then say you want to diversify. You start here. So think like a disruptor. So have an attitude that's essential. No matter where you work, think about your industry and how you can help your employer respond to change. So be the person in your job, not the problem. Be the problem
right.
solver.
Mm-hmm.
Look around and say, what can I create that we don't have here?
Yep. Agent of change.
Agent of change. And secondly, adopt the side hustle. She did it with the camera.
Yeah.
Like going to the weddings, dressing up, having her hair did. Like, hey, I can take these pictures.
Uber driver, Lyft driver.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Working for Amazon, delivering packages.
Yep. And then the last one says, make it official. That's when you get the branding, the website. Accepting credit cards,
mm-hmm.
you know, using your social media to let everybody know you got a platform. Like, I'm doing this now. This is what I do.
Right.
And I love to do it, so am I making money doing it? So I got the scripture for you, Tony, before
okay.
we end the day, because you said it at the beginning, like the sign you have on the wall. So I say, I was out to the lake today doing my exercises, and the scripture says, good for nothing, trust God with the least. I saw somebody this weekend, too. I was over someone's house sitting over there having a Sunday meal with them. And they're like, man, I really appreciate how y'all share scripture and stuff, trying to listen to you guys. And I haven't seen this guy in a long time. He's from Flint. His name's Speedy. And Speedy's always in the stocks. He's always in the technology. And he's a lot older than me. And it made me like, man, like I remember being a kid, just want to play basketball all the time. And he was always into the money and just investing. And he said, I like listening to you guys. I was like, it made
that's
me just
good.
Look
that's
up
a compliment,
and think, like, man.
Man,
I remember just being in the yard playing basketball all the time, and you was in the computer, and you was always in the investing.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said, look at it. Look at you now. I was like, I said, man, this is amazing. So it says Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, right? It says, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. And you said that, and I was.
Yes, sir.
You
yes,
said
sir.
It. You hit it out on the nose. And I'm going to say this. I was at Dollar General the other day, and I was buying some Pine Sol and some like some soup or something. I'm trying, because I can't really have too many solid foods. So I'm like, I'm looking through. So I'm going, I'm like, man, this Pine Sol, $5 over here, I ain't buying that. So I go down the aisle, they had it in a discount aisle.
Okay.
And I was like, all this stuff a dollar. So I had to scan through. I seen some Pine Sol, it was like Tropical Breeze. It wasn't a regular Pine Sol, but I was like, it's a dollar. Then I seen a couple of soup cans that was, they was smashed, and they had some like trail mix. I was like, oh, it was in a different package. The package was kind of sealed. You had to cut it off instead of tear it off. But I started thinking, I was like, if we, I bought all that stuff, right?
Right.
So I ended up saving about 10 bucks, 10 bucks. But then I started thinking about how we view people. A lot of times people think they damaged goods.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
And then just because they don't got the shiny glitter and the gold and the money, they think they now don't have the value. But when I turned the brand and I seen the face and it was like Pine Sol and it said a dollar, I was like, I don't care if it's smashed.
No.
When I open it, it's going to still do the job.
It's going to do the job. That's right.
So, like you said, looking at your sign on the wall at your business, you don't do it because it's for the shine and the glitter. Mm-mm. You do it because of the contents and the potential of what can happen for that person.
That's exactly right.
And that's the blessing in that. So, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat. Check us out on YouTube, too. We got stuff coming on YouTube also, audience.
Very good.
Yep.